been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
K-Row. I've been there. K-Row.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Just trying to make tomorrow a little bit better than today, as Senator Crowell says. And we are joined by someone who's in the constant pursuit of making tomorrow a little bit better than today. Eric Schmidt, welcome to the show.
It is great to be here. I'm thrilled. I'm excited.
Well, I mean, speaking of making tomorrow a little bit better than today, that's really the topic of this. But I kind of feel like we should touch on some important political issues.
Sure. That's what this podcast is supposed to be all about.
Yeah, the in-depth issues over time. Tax cuts, pro-con?
As the primary author of two largest tax cuts in the history of the state, I think you hear that somewhere.
I swear to God, we did not replay the clip. That was live.
I'm a huge fan of allowing people to keep more of their own money.
Well, now that we got the business out of the way, let's move on to the real purpose of this podcast, which is baseball. We have done a TV show before back in the days when the Cardinals used to make the playoffs. Seems like so long ago. Fun fact, my son has never been alive to see a Cardinal playoff game in his entire life.
That's a shame.
His entire life.
No child, one or over, should ever have to live through that.
Exactly. But that's the struggle. He lives it. I hear people whining about the depression. Gussie has never seen a Cardinal playoff game.
It's its own kind of depression.
Kind of makes my grandparents need to just buck up. I mean,
well, those are hard times for the greatest generation.
And this is hard times. So what we want to do is we want to break down the offseason and see if we can provide some hope. So just like with Senator Crowell, he wants to make tomorrow better than today. I'd like to talk about how we can make tomorrow a little better than today. But first, let's talk about how last year ended. Over 500. Hey, if this was the Texas Rangers, awesome. If this was the Kansas City Royals, it'd be one of the best years in franchise history. This is not the Royals. This is God's own St. Louis Cardinals. Complete failure of a year, right?
It's the crown jewel of the National
League. I love that.
It's a year that a lot of missed opportunities. There's no question. And you look at some of the games, especially late in games that they blew. And I'm sure every team can kind of point to this, but to me, there's two big reasons. I think you had a back of a bullpen problem, except for the last. You know, those few weeks where Rosenthal was healthy before he got hurt, they kind of had the bullpen situation aligned, and they rattled off some wins. I think they won 7-11.
How do you complain about Nicasio?
Did you say Chris Nicastro, the former head of DESE?
The former head of DESE. Maybe she's making her play her old job.
Sign her.
Maybe by the time you hear this broadcast, that job could be open, and she could be back in the running for it.
No, he did a good job, and actually Pittsburgh wanted to protect him from going to the Cardinals, and we got him anyway, so... You know, they might try to bring him back, but he definitely kind of stabilized. But I don't know if he's a pure closer for a whole season, but he's a great guy to have at the back of the bullpen.
Look, I think Nicasio would do a great job running DESE, but I'd like to see him back in the Cardinals bullpen this year.
Yeah, that'd be a good signing. You had that, and I think the other thing is, for the first time in a long time that I can remember, a real kind of structural roster imbalance in that they had a lot of left fielders, a lot of second basemen, a lot of guys who hit second, who hit sixth or seventh. But they were missing, there was a glaring hole in the middle of the order, which I think is what they're going to try to address in the offseason. But, you know, they had a handful of guys with 20 or so home runs. But, you know, they had a lot of guys doing a lot of the same things. And so I think to kind of mix up that, the roster composition has got to be priority number one.
It's always nice to be broadcasting here from the world headquarters. We've given out many awards in the past. If you had to give it an MVP for the season on the Cardinals, I mean, I know the season was a total failure and frankly, an embarrassment to the franchise, but if you were going to say who's the best player on that team, who would you say?
Tommy Pham.
Not even close?
And he missed the first month, really, or almost the first month. Statistically speaking, he had one of the best Cardinal seasons ever. I mean, the combination of speed, power, I think he brought a different kind of energy to the team. No, he's clearly
started
MVP.
The season in Memphis. Why do you think their best player started the season in Memphis?
Well, I mean, there have been reports that him and Matheny haven't gelled.
I agree.
Yeah. So
either one of two things. it's a mistake of you're letting your emotions decide who makes the roster. Or two, you're not that great at evaluating talent.
Well, I think, actually, if you go back in time a little bit, he had some eye issues in spring training. He did not have a great spring training. He didn't, if you go back and look at the numbers. But I think, you know, he had done enough. I think, at the end of last year, they kind of saw enough of him in spring training to make the opening day roster. I mean, I'm not going to
mention. I agree.
But it's a decision that ultimately, thankfully, he got an opportunity again early in the season to prove what he can do. And he did not disappoint. And I think he was an underrated talent. And then I think towards the end of the year, people started to understand. I think as we move forward into the offseason, I know we'll get to it, I think he has probably more value with the Cardinals, though, than he does with another team.
Because the eye issues.
And age, but he's a guy you can build around. He certainly is a guy you can build around. So if we're worried about Tommy Pham, then we're in great shape because he's a really, really good player.
Look, I see where people, if you're playing with a guy like Pham, you could get a little put out with him. I mean, he is the guy that does old school, shags fly balls every day, first to the park, takes the rookies to dinner. He does all the old school things. And if you're a new school guy and you're lax and kind of American League-esque, having a Pham could rub you the wrong way. I mean, when he gets on to you for leaving runners on, I get how today's more coddled managers than coddle their players. He's old school.
He is, and he hustles. And and what my dad, I'm not sure I've ever relayed this information publicly, but at the rehearsal dinner when I married my wife, the dad usually gives a bit of a speech, right? Because they pay for that, and then the next night is the wife's dad. But I'll never forget what my dad, the highest compliment he could have paid me was that he said, "I always hustled." So I appreciate somebody that actually hustles and is the kind of player that is going to go in hard to second base, is not going to take anything for granted, and that's the kind of player he is.
Well, you hustlers, you recognize each other on the field.
That's right.
So who's the best pitcher on this team?
Carlos Martinez. I mean, Reyes, I think, potentially, but he was hurt. So I think Carlos Martinez. I think he's an ace.
What's the biggest game Martinez ever pitched?
Well, he's not been in that situation.
He was in a very meaningful game in September in Wrigley Field this year and melted down.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. I think that was a throwing error that kind of got him into that trouble. Now,
I hear somebody talk about Jaime Garcia?
No, not that.
Little things blow you up. That's not an ace.
Yeah.
Bob Gibson could have an earthquake happening.
No, I get it. I understand. And I still think that, you know, when he's on that big stage, which he hasn't been in yet in postseason baseball, he'll have that to prove, right? But I think he has the stuff. And he, if you look at statistically, right, like a guy over the course of, 200 plus innings, all that kind of stuff that you look at to measure an ace, there's no question he's top 10 in the league and probably top 5. So I hear what you're saying. He's susceptible. I don't care about the hair if he's pitching well. I really could care.
But when he doesn't pitch well, then that bothers me.
I'm sure there's a lot to nitpick. He's a guy that, like, those are the guys you go out and try and get because you can build your franchise around a guy with that kind of stuff. Is he susceptible to a big inning? Yeah, but he's still pretty early in his career. I mean, he's 24 years old. So I think there's still some room for growth there, but I think he's a one. And then you got Reyes coming back. Presumably, I don't think he'll start the year in the rotation. But you've got some two top-of-the-order guys you can build your rotation around.
What, do you believe that when you think of Bob Gibson, Chris Carpenter, that Martinez can step in there as that kind of ace?
Those are, to me, like Hall of Fame pitchers, right?
Certainly, I love Carpenter. He's not a Hall of Famer, though.
Probably not, but in my lifetime, there's nobody that that I've seen that I would rather have pitch in a big game, and I'm talking about anybody.
He's
a bulldog, and he's got the record to prove it. So, like, that's not probably fair to Martinez right now. I hope that he is that guy.
This is the first podcast since Roy Halladay passed. We should tip our hat to Roy Halladay.
Yeah, great pitcher.
He was on the losing end of one of the greatest baseball games ever, Game 5 of the 11 NLDS, in that little bandbox, that huge lineup of mashers. Carpenter gets an early run and basically
Freeze had the beginning of his run.
I heard he had some good coaches, Freeze coming up, some hitting coaches.
A little known fun fact about your state treasurer.
I mean, state treasurer is nice, but when you introduce other people, you do say, I was David Freese's hitting coach at one time. And I have this office. I do.
Other than my family, it's probably the most important thing I've done for St. Louis and the state.
Well, clearly. Thank you for your service, by the way.
But I can't take – he was a great player. But, you know, it's funny. Even David Freese as a high school kid had tremendous power to the opposite field. And, by the way, guess what happened in that postseason?
Oh, yeah.
He had great – I mean, if you think
all
about –
all the big hits the triple, the right
yeah, and, yep. And if you know you're a good player if you have power at all fields, and he always had that.
So, outside – I mean, the Young came in second in Rookie of the Year overall, yeah. Which I thought was warranted. Who's another rookie that stood out? I mean, they had tons of Memphis folks up. All
yeah, oh, my
around.
Gosh. It became, you know, in some ways, they got contributions from a lot of guys.
Carson Kelly did nothing to really stand out at the major league level. I think that's going to be a budding problem if they don't trade in this offseason. Sierra proved, I mean, is Magnus Sierra the best defensive outfielder in the Cardinal system?
He could be. I think
today.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
I think so, too.
I think he probably is. But you know who actually proved himself to be a really good defensive center fielder, too, was Harrison Bader,
yep.
Who came up. They
Bader
got contributions well. From a lot of these guys that we had read about before, but when they came up to the major league level, it didn't frighten them. They were up for the moment. I think Sierra was the most intriguing player of 2017. He is like, I mean, when you think about Vince Coleman, when he came up, the kind of excitement that he generated, mm-hmm. the havoc that he could create on the base pass. I mean, that is a rare thing, especially in 2017.
So let's start with the coaching staff, looking forward to the next season. So you look at the Cardinals team, and you look at what they did well, what they didn't do well. How bizarre is it they fire every coach except the hitting coach?
Yeah. Well,
let me just look into my hillbilly crystal ball. I see a team that probably pitched as well or better than it should have, didn't go with the philosophy.
The rotation kept them in the season. Yeah,
very sure. Hard to argue with when you can bring in a pitching coach like Mike Maddox.
Yeah,
I don't know that Derek Lopez deserved to be fired. The bench coach, yes, the defense has been terrible, and you could trace it back to one situation when Jose Oquendo didn't come back. I think that I heard firsthand that they had to fly to Florida. Then Matheny had to fly to Florida because you'd had situations in the past where Oquendo would see a poor defensive game, schedule infield for the day after a night game, and they'd go to the manager and get it canceled. Oquendo comes back supposedly with full autonomy. Maddox supposedly has the most autonomy of any pitching coach in baseball. Are they just continually trying to box in and prop up a manager they probably shouldn't have hired in 2012.
Well, if I'm playing devil's advocate on the hitting coach side, they had some good seasons from players who had statistically good seasons. I would argue, though, that the most glaring problem is the roster in that it's constructed in a way that they didn't have a real middle-order guy. Because here's what I'm saying. If Grichuk is batting seventh and not cleanup, right, you deal with
he
some...
He was a lot of the year.
Well, right. And Yadier Molina, by the way, should not be hitting fifth on a World Series team.
I love Yadier Molina. But let me just ask you, with the production of this team, should the pitching coach or the hitting coach have been fired?
No, look, there's enough blame to go around, right?
Is John Mabry the hitting coach of your St. Louis Cardinals because he's friends with the manager?
He's very tight with
the manager. Derek Lillick was fired because he was not?
I don't know his relationship with Matheny. I really don't. I think Lillequist is a fine pitching coach.
I do too. But I think he was underrated, actually.
Yeah,
how do you fill the shoes of Dave Duncan?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, that's
but
in this town,
pitching coach.
In this town, you're compared with. And have you ever heard the story, by the way, of and I don't know, it's never been verified, but Gibson, after he pitched for the Cardinals, was the pitching coach for the Mets. And he
no.
got fired. No, he was for like 1 year. And he was fired. Or he was let go. And I'm a huge Bob Gibson fan. Because his advice to a lot of the pitchers was just hit the guy. So Gibson, you know, he didn't have a great run as a pitching coach, but one of the greatest competitors in any sport of all time. So,
Treasure, what color is Bob Gibson's hair? Was Bob Gibson's hair for every start of his career?
Yeah, I don't think that matters. Like, honestly, Carlos Martinez could have purple pink hair if he's, you know, getting 20 wins.
Why don't you win a ring and then you can express? Why don't you express yourself by getting a ring?
Yeah.
Then you could express
yourself. Again,
name.
Carlos Martinez is the least of our issues for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Let's walk through the outfield. Randall Grichuk, if they seasoned open today, would be your left fielder? Would he? So the first person you find a spot for is Tommy Pham, whether Matheny likes him or not.
Yeah,
you find him a spot.
He's your starting left fielder.
You're paying Fowler $18 million a year. Do you just say, look, man, we're going to keep paying you, but you're going to play left field.
I think depending on how the offseason plays out.
Is there any team that would trade for Dexter Fowler today with that contract? Is there any team in baseball?
Oh, I think with the contract, it would be very difficult to trade.
So, yeah, play left field. And I call
you're saying fan play center and Fowler play left?
If he, it just whoever the best one is,
yeah.
Which I would say right now would be
yeah. Fan. That's right now. That's the combo. Yeah.
How do you, I saw a column by a person that I'd never really noticed much of their columns, but Ortiz for the Post-Dispatch wrote a really in-depth column, the kind of column you write like when you're leaving town, about the Cardinals clubhouse, and he straight called out this person who I have to admit I thought Fowler would be the great. I thought one of his pluses was great clubhouse guy, great teammate. He said Fowler was the last person there, didn't shag, and a lot of people noticed he didn't shag, and said he was not a good influence in the clubhouse when people thought he was going to be an excellent one.
Yeah, I think stock in that. I think those
no one's come out and said it's wrong.
Well, I think those articles, though, quite frankly, about clubhouse chemistry. If you have a good year, like you're keeping it loose, right? Like somebody's playing ping pong or music you don't like, you're keeping it loose. If you don't succeed, it's a distraction.
If you're a clubhouse leader, you're Dexter Fowler, you're making $18 million a year, shouldn't you be one of the first to
But the only thing is, I don't know because I haven't talked to any of those guys, but I didn't see any quotes about anybody saying that they thought he was. And like, I think there's a lot of this kind of stuff that gets filtered around when you finish barely above 500 as opposed to winning the National League. So,
oh, yeah.
I think that, you know, the modern player right now, they have a different workout regimen than, you know, when Will Clark would drink a six-pack after a game and, you know, like he got there early and, you know, Will Clark
that would go make J.D. Drew play.
Right. Will Clark played, yeah, in 2000 when we got Will Clark. That was a great signing in 2000.
I don't know that there's ever been a Cardinal that played half a year and was more beloved.
But you know what? Will Clark. So, and when he was with the Giants, he was such a fierce competitor. Remember that it was that I think he broke up the double play when Ozzy was shortstop, and there was a huge bench-clearing brawl. This is like in 89 or 90.
I think that's right.
And it was after like the one flap down stuff with Jeffrey Leonard.
Who lost that series, by the way.
Yeah, and I mean, booing him in Game 7. I was at that Game 7 with my grandma, actually. My dad worked midnights and couldn't go. And I was at that Game 7 against the Giants. And I've never heard boos as loud as you heard that night. But interesting, he got blamed for calling St. Louis a cowtown. But it was the Cubs just hired him as their hitting coach.
Chili Davis.
Yeah, I think he's the one who actually made the comment and got away with it.
Well, so. I mean, Jeffrey Leonard had a heck of a series, so he got
one flap down.
Yeah. Let's walk around the infield. I think Jed Jerko did plenty enough to be the starting third baseman. 30 homers. I mean, he had a great year.
Yeah, no,
he played a solid defense at third. I don't know what you want. Well, I mean, what in your mind, who do you replace him with that produces that?
Nobody on this roster.
I agree.
I think depending on what they do, like I could see if they go out and get Josh Donaldson. I think Jerko is a really good player. I think, though, that if you're a championship caliber team, Jerko's likely fit is kind of what we thought he was, what we brought him in to do, which was he would play almost every day, and he can play second. He can even play short on occasion. He can spell somebody. He can play first. So he's kind of your guy that's like that plays a bunch of different places and gives you a lot of production, which is a rare thing.
Modern day Tom Lawless, but you know, way better.
Way better.
Yeah.
But I was at that game too, by the way, and that famous
bat flip. Oh man!
I was at that game, and what's funny about that bat flip is he flipped it. It's like one of the most notorious bat flips of all time. The ball barely went over the left field fence. Like it was not like a for sure home run.
You imagine like doing that bat flip and the ball going off the top of the
ball. Yeah, that would have been pretty bad.
Shortstop, is there a place besides catcher and one of the outfield spots for fam that you can put in ink better than Paul DeJong?
No, I mean, he just...
You don't need to go lusting for a shortstop. You have a shortstop.
It's a great fit, and that's a tough position to sort of lock in. And going into this season, people, you know, he played second baseman. Played second base in Memphis. And for him to come up and play shortstop at the major league level is a huge thing for this organization.
Have we seen the last of Aledmys Diaz?
I mean, he plays, right? He can play third and short, and you kind of have that covered right now.
If I'm a team, that's a guy I might take a flyer on. I don't like a top prospect for, but as part of a bigger deal, you take a flyer on him. The Cardinals have to eat some of the contract, but it's doing them no good anyway. I think Diaz is the guy that you throw in on a trade and has some value.
I think that's right. I think for a team that needs some immediate help at shortstop or maybe third base, Diaz could be part of that. He's also not, you got him under control. Like, he's not a bad guy to have the around either in case somebody gets hurt.
The talent's there.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, he showed that last year, pulling it out. Second base, did we see the real Colton Wong this year?
I think that's who he is. I think he's a...
and that's a good player.
Yeah,
a
rare combination at second base of speed and power. And plays good defense. Yeah. I think this year, more than anything, he was much more consistent defensively, which is really what they needed that position to.
Matt Carpenter, if what you're saying is true, that you have a Colton Wong in place, Matt Carpenter, your third... He's not a first baseman on a playoff team.
No. You know,
does Matt Carpenter with Dexter Fowler on the roster and Colton Wong on the roster, does Matt Carpenter have a spot on this team?
Like he's consistently one of your most productive players. If they would have gone out and got, you know, the Dodger third baseman, or they gone out and got Donaldson or something the year before, I think, you know, Carpenter's playing first base. But if they'd have gone out and got a first baseman in the last couple of years, he'd be playing third base or second base. So I think they're in a good position with Carpenter in the sense that he can play a couple of positions, corner positions, and be productive as a person that you wanted that position.
Can he be productive at a lineup spot other than leadoff?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I personally think much more has been made of that than is real. Like,
the statistics would argue with
he's much better. But if you look at his OPS, which is a really important measure for, in my view, of, you know, batting average and on base, like, he's on base a lot. And so whether he's on base at the two-hole or the three-hole or leadoff, but he's a top of the, or middle of the order guy, and not a guy you need to go out and try to figure out a solution for.
The catcher, did the Cardinals, I think Molina's production proved they did right. Do you trade Carson Kelly? Does he have value on the Cardinals?
By the way, OPS is on base plus slugging. Sorry, I said batting average. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert. That's how we got into this mess, was the dorks with their calculators. Need Whitey Herzog to come up and evaluate talent.
But by the way, I heard an interview with Herzog where he said there was some statistical measure that Carpenter was kind of hitting into bad luck. And I heard Whitey on a radio interview say, you know, just watching these games, he's hit into a lot of bad luck. So there is this kind of convergence of old school and new school, kind of what your eye sees and what the statistics show.
You give me all the calculators in the world or Whitey Herzog, I'm with Whitey.
Oh, I'll take Whitey.
I'm Whitey sure. All day.
Happy birthday to Whitey Herzog.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Congratulations.
Same birthday as Bob Gibson.
Do you think, let me ask you this, if you were to become governor, would you eclipse Whitey Herzog as the top German-American in Missouri?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. No. But I mean,
I approach this job with president? Much humility.
Hey, president? It'd be close that way. It'd be close.
Yeah.
Does Carson Kelly, should they trade Carson Kelly?
I wouldn't, but he could be important enough in a package, if like a Stanton package, that you would part with him. But here's the thing. I mean, even though Yadi has not seen, we've not seen any signs of decline, which is really rare for a guy his age who plays catcher. But I think the idea was this kind of three-year transition. So I think he probably plays more next year and the year after. But Yadi's a proud guy.
You know what? They tried to transition this year.
Yeah.
And Yadi Molina publicly
went
said
on Instagram.
No.
Yeah.
Pretty much told Matheny, I run this. You do whatever you do. I'll take care of catching. He won.
Yeah. But remember, they had this transition when Matheny was a Gold Glove catcher to Yadi. And so, like, we've done
Matheny
this before.
Matheny was a Gold Glove catcher. I'm glad you brought up the manager. You know what he's not a catcher of? How many times, Mr. Treasurer, you're into math and adding. Could you tell me how many times Mike Matheny has ran to the mound and jumped in the arms of a Cardinal pitcher at the end of a World Series?
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet.
Never happened. Let me ask you, hashtag MoLedge / Cardinals podcast producer Ben Peters. In the history of the world, there's been 25, 30 billion people, right? Do you know how many people in the history of mankind has ever managed the St. Louis Cardinals to a playoff loss to the Chicago Cubs?
I don't.
One person in the world, Mike Matheny, and it disgusts me that Jane Duggar still takes up for him. Completely disgusting.
Well, in fairness now, like, La Russa
is that statistic not gospel?
No, no, La Russa didn't win until his 11th season.
Did he ever lose to the Cubs?
No.
Cubs. My God,
I agree with you. That's brutal.
Did you ever see the Cubs clinch the division on our field? 1930-something, right?
No, it's disgusting. And by the way...
How much failure are you willing to accept?
For the tens of listeners listening right now...
Both of them.
I would say that for both listeners, please hold on to that emotion as you... Let me speak for myself. I am going to hold on to that emotion of watching them celebrate with that W flag on our pitcher's mound to help carry me through this off season, and we need to do better.
This is the time for leaders. I mean, we are in crisis in this state. It's a failure from the top to the bottom. As a number four elected official in the state, if Mike Matheny does not reach the playoffs, let's say the NLCS this year, are you willing to publicly call for his firing?
maybe. It's that important to me. But here's the thing. I don't think they're that far away.
I am the state's fattest German-American newspaper publisher. And I will confidently state, if you don't win the World Series this year, it's time to pack up and go, brother. You got to go. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
It is a mistake to hire a manager.
But you didn't like, managed. Fairness, you didn't like LaRusso.
Hated LaRusso. Hated him. So, long hair, didn't live here. Hated him.
But I love Tony. He had a track record in Oakland where you felt, absolutely. You know, so he came in with some.
It was an intensity.
Oh, yeah. The hard nine.
Tied for first, play all 1-6. You don't have that. That intensity is not there.
Yeah, I walked in
there.
The treasurer's office and spoke to our team, and I said, give them a hard nine. And they all looked at me like, what in the world are you talking about?
But you should have fired him. Right. I bet Drew knew that he was down. Let's go through this rotation. So you think Martinez is an ace?
I do.
Is he a 1A or is he a 1?
I mean, that's a fair debate to have. But I think he has the stuff and the ability to be a number one. He's got to lose the bad inning, but I think for whatever reason, we're much more nitpicky on Carlos Martinez than we are on other folks, and maybe it's because of the hairstyle or some other stuff. But when you really look at the numbers,
I think your point, the talent he has and the talent he flashes, makes you pay more attention to him. So you do expect more out of a start from him.
But, I mean, he's a rare talent. I think he's an ace. If he's your 1A or 2, man, you got a really good team. But I think he's an ace.
Let's talk about Waka. Did we see the real Michael Waka?
You know, Waka is a layered player in the sense that his changeup was devastating when he came up in 13, mm-hmm. right? And it caught the league off guard. He had an incredible postseason run. He had a good year. His health is always a concern. His statistics second, especially third time through a batting order, certainly raises some concern, which is why some people have argued, and it's not a bad experiment to have him as a closer. And some people pointed in, well, his numbers off the stretch haven't been great. Well, I think that's because he's getting into trouble later in the game, and that's why he's pitching from the stretch. So
I have to say, that first time through the order, he's almost a dominant pitcher.
Devastating. And he looks like he did in 13. So, you know, depending on what they do, if they go out and get Holland or somebody like that, then, you know, you're not messing with the closer situation. But I think they'll have him pitch
the real deal. Weaver the real deal?
Yeah, I do.
You trust him to hold down the number 3 spot in the rotation next year?
I think Weaver's a 2.
Next year?
Yeah, I do.
Wow. What's a good year look like for Adam Wainwright?
Similar to this year.
Do you think the Cardinals approach the season with maybe Flaherty or another back end guy in the 4-hole? Adam Wainwright's your 5th starter, and you hope that sometime around the middle of the season he gives you decent stats, and then Alex Reyes takes that spot in the rotation. Is that what success this year looks like? Get us through the All-Star break. And then let Reyes have that spot.
Well, I think probably what they're more likely to do is they have Weaver slotted in. I mean, all these are kind of like how you rank them. But
yeah, Martinez in 1.
Yeah.
You have Walker in 2. You would go Weaver 3. And you're going to have Flaherty or some guy you signed for. Wainwright is your 5th starter.
Right.
But if Wainwright can give you a 500 record and something around a little under 4 ERA to the All-Star break, and then you could put Reyes in the rotation, right?
Yeah, I think probably the plan is to get Reyes in the rotation around that time. Yeah. Whether he replaces Wainwright or one of the other young guys.
Or Flaherty.
Yeah.
Or Waka has attended that. Normally he goes out.
Yeah,
that time.
Ideally you have some of those options later in the year. But Reyes is such a key. In my view, he's probably the only untouchable in this trade market. He's the one guy who I think if you let him go, you will regret that for a decade at least. So
you
I don't
say that never seeing him throw a pitch after Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, but those guys come back.
Not
now.
Everybody.
They come back stronger. And by the way, a lot of these scouts and organizations view it as a pitcher of that caliber is going to have a Tommy John sometime in their career. And you'd almost rather not. You don't want it to happen at all. Yeah. But earlier now, it is what it is. So I think he comes back and he's going to be a horse.
Let's look at that bullpen. Tyler Lyons, big step forward this year. He's in your bullpen, right?
Yep.
Nicasio needs to come back. Not to Desi, but to the
experience of Desi definitely strengthens.
I would have no problem if Nicasio ran Desi in the offseason and just did it remotely.
They're gonna have to pay Nicasio though, right? And I think they will.
They have the money. I mean, they have the payroll space to pay him. I mean, they have guys coming off the books.
They had a bullpen that had good individual parts, but I think their roles were so convoluted that nobody really settled in. And towards the end, Nicasio sort of did at the end of the game.
Yeah, but, Lyons but was nothing, a great eighth inning guy. I guess right-handers too.
Yeah, but I, you know, what is true, if you look at teams that actually win at all, you got to have a closer that you can rely on. And that's sort of the first order of business in the bullpen.
Is part of the Matheny problem, literally Mozeliak had to remove Broxton from the ability to put him in games, or he'd be out pitching in Matheny's backyard wiffle ball this weekend.
Yeah, sticking with those guys, it cost them some games. Yeah, Broxton being off the roster. And it freed up a roster spot, by the way.
Mozeliak, if it didn't forcibly make it impossible for you to lose games with him, he'd still be losing games right now.
It was addition by subtraction. And, and I think, you know,
that's... Brett Cecil, is there anything there? I mean, you got to bring him to spring training. Yeah. You probably start the year on the roster. Give me the scenario by which you say, hey, we got to cut this.
Well,
what's that look like?
I mean, a lot like this year, probably, right?
But what month is that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, if you're gonna carry him to July, you might as well carry him to September. I mean, you know, he just wow. How do you? That is.
They got to get more. Look, they got to get more out of Brett Cecil, and they jumped in front of the market on that one. And I hope that doesn't discourage them, which I don't think it will, by the way, from doing that, because the Cardinals are gonna have to get in front of the market on some of these guys that they want. And they did that last year with Cecil, and they got burned.
And they did that with Leak, and it burned them. And I would say they would never sign that Fowler contract.
But the
again.
Leak one, you know, I'm not playing Monday morning quarterback, but I suppose we are. The Leak one, you kind of knew who he was, and it was a back of the rotation kind of guy. Maybe at best he's your three. Cecil though had been really kind of prolific in Toronto, and they went out and got him, and hoping he would be that same guy, and it just did not work out.
You know, the one thing I'll say for Cecil though, we've seen Kevin Segrist, a left-hander, from year to year, he's unhittable to just terrible. So you know, the bullpen guys sometimes their arms. I mean, I definitely think the amount of investment you have in him, you gotta see what he has next year, and just hope that this was an aversion. But I my gut tells me probably not.
Yeah, I hope I hope he's better.
Who else in that bullpen comes back?
You know, I don't think the bullpen... I'm not that worried about who they had this year, except for the order in which people were pitching. You know what I mean? Like, I think Rosenthal, they cut tie. I guess they could still sign...
Would you give him a two-year deal?
Rosenthal?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I would. I would backload that second year with incentives. And that's kind of what they did with Chris Carpenter. I'm not comparing the two.
But isn't he more valuable to us than somebody else?
Yeah, but I also think that if you're Rosenthal, what he's thinking is he gets healthy next year, somebody's going to pay him because of his ability to throw 100 miles an hour.
But you signed that two-year deal for the same money, and you have some guarantee of that.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree that it makes sense.
It could be, and this is again conjecture, but it could be that they want that 40-man roster spot.
But if you
open
put him on 60 days, he's not on it, right? That was my next question. If you sign him and put him on the 60-day, you've signed him after the Rule 5 draft when you don't need the spot anymore, and you put him on the 60-day disabled list, he's off the 40-man.
I don't know.
I mean, well, you don't sign him before the Rule 5 draft.
Right. I think my guess is they want to do what they can do in this offseason right now and figure out, like, for example, if they don't get Stanton and they go out and try to get two guys, right, like hypothetically, Yelich and Donaldson, which I think is far-fetched. Yeah. But theoretically, that's a for sure another roster spot that you've got to filled up that they might want to keep open, which is why they cut ties with Rosenthal.
So when we're talking about next season, the word here, we're taping this podcast at the World Headquarters Tuesday afternoon. Word out of the general manager meetings is Stanton does not want to go to Boston, does not want to go to St. Louis. he wants to go to California. I mean, he's got the full no trade. Let's assume that's all just liberal media fake news.
Yeah.
One, if you don't want to be here, good. I mean, the last guy that didn't want to be here, we dodged a huge bullet in the defensive replacement pinch runner for 22 million, Jason Hayward.
And by the way, David Price. David Price had a similar contract they offered.
He wanted to be here. They just paid him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Boston.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think David Price had any disrespect. He's from Nashville.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying that we missed out on a key guy. But, yeah, Hayward definitely wanted to be in Chicago over St. Louis.
Well, the dirty secret is, of these $100 million free agent deals, maybe with inflation, that's 125, not many of them work out.
Yeah.
I mean, people dream about them. That most of them don't work.
Right.
Matt Holliday is probably the true free agent deal we signed. I mean, with Pujols, it was an extension. We were buying out.
We got great value out of the trade for Holiday.
And you really could say we got value out of the Wainwright signing. Yeah. It was an extension, but still, I think that was value. But most of these signings don't work.
Yeah, and look, I think if you go out and get Stanton, it's a 10-year, $300 million.
Or it's a 3-year, $60 million. He could opt out.
He could. Yeah, he could.
I mean, if he comes here, he could leave.
I'm not that worried about that. Although I do think that factors into the prospects that they offer. So like, that's a complicated deal because it's Eaton's salary. How much does Miami keep of that?
Prospects. He played well enough.
But my point is,
opt out after year three, you'd almost say, "Gosh, you did a great job for us."
In the post, yeah, could be in the post steroid era, right? The traditional view of a player after the age of 35, we're kind of back to where we were before the steroid era, which is
yes. There's
a precipitous decline in production.
And everything except newspaper publishers, I'd agree with that. You do decline.
Right.
I think if you traded for Stanton and he was so good that his agent truly thought he could opt out of that deal 3 years from now and get more than $210 million for 7 years, he would have played so well for you for 3 years. You almost say, you know what, buddy? Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, unless you're... I don't know what the package looks like. I mean,
can you imagine playing that well that you would think at the age you would be 3 years from now to opt out? It's mean he's had three great seasons. Yeah. Or he's not going to opt out. I assume he's not opting out. I mean, that's...
I'm not worried about the opt out because, to your point, I think.
So, what's his package look like? I think we all would say Grichuk goes to replace Stanton in their lineup, right?
Grichuk or Piscotty.
And we're okay. That's not a deal breaker, Grichuk right. or Piscotty. I could see Grichuk going somewhere and becoming a star, but if he does, you know he does.
Yeah, he's a guy that like you want to believe he's going to be an all star, a consistent performer. But you just haven't seen it yet.
And he may be.
And he might be. But I think if you listen to Cardinal fans, he's the guy also that they're afraid goes off, you know, somewhere else and becomes a superstar. But you've given him
plenty of time.
Yeah, and if you can go out and get Stanton and he's part
of it. So Grichuk goes, does Carson Kelly go?
Makes sense for the
Cardinals.
Yeah, maybe.
Flaherty goes.
Yeah, I think you're going to have Flaherty or Weaver.
One of the two. Yeah. And then Alex Reyes?
No.
You say no.
Reyes is the one guy I don't do.
You just say no.
Everybody else is on the table.
What about Weaver and Flaherty?
Maybe.
With Grichuk and
maybe.
Kelly?
Maybe.
Would you do that deal? Jeter calls you up and says, all right, I want Kelly, who you don't need, Grichuk, who you don't need, and then you got to give me Flaherty and Weaver. Do you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think so. And that's coming from someone who I think young, really good – really good young starting pitchers is the most important commodity you can have in your system. And those are two guys, especially Weaver, that are ready to go. But I think if you're addressing the need this team has right now as an impact bat. Now, what that does do then, and this is all
hypothetical. You've got to sign a starter.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you're spending money on a proven starter and you're hoping to get something back and maybe return from Florida, some guy that you can develop.
Oh, the Florida closer that Tetzik says, I'm sure they throw him in. Right?
Well, and the Cardinals do have a deep, now we've heard more of the guys like Weaver and Flaherty, but they do have a deep group of people, pitchers in their minor league system. But again, these are all what ifs. All of them are what ifs, and so I think you take the impact bat that is your impact bat for 7 to 10 years. Now, when he's the back 3 years of that
contract, it's going to look like the Wainwright contract. It's going to be ugly.
But you're paying essentially for those really good years.
And if you're not willing to average that value out, then you know.
And they're thinking about that.
So Josh Donaldson, what for 1 year of Josh Donaldson? What's your package like?
I don't know. I'd be wary of that one because I think once he gets out on the open market, unless you feel like you could sign him to a longer-term deal, That's the one that I worry, because you don't have as much control. Like, for example, if they don't get Stanton...
Would you give Weaver or Flaherty for Donaldson?
I don't know. Man, so here's the direction I go. Maybe it's probably not the Donaldson route if they don't get Stanton. I think you go the Yelich route. I think they have a... Between Ozuna, Yelich, and Stanton, they can get one of those outfielders. They're young. They can, they're in control, and they're ascending players, especially Yelich. And then you go out and get another guy. But, you know, it depends on how you look at this. Like, for example, Stanton cleared waivers, which means nobody wanted to pay that salary. Now, they could have pulled it back.
Yeah.
Okay? But the market said at the time nobody was willing to pick it up. So I think...
Do you believe they would have let him go?
I think that the package for prospects may be lighter for a guy like Stanton because the salary's in play versus a guy like Yelich. You may have to pay more in prospects for Yelich because he's under control. So this market is kind of nebulous. So the previous question hypothetically you asked of giving Weaver and Flaherty in the same package for Stanton, that's I would do it, but that's probably richer than the market would probably bear. But the one thing the Cardinals have to worry about, which is burned us in the past, is kind of finishing second. Like, if the Boston Red Sox swoop in and get Boston. Stanton, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I could hate a sports team. Like, the Cubs is their
very top. But, not the,
but Boston, I mean, you think about the Super Bowl in 01 and then the two World Series, and we've talked about this before. I was at Game 4 of that 2004 World Series, and it was brutal. We never led in the series. It was, they're filming a movie on
I won't watch Jimmy Fallon today. Yeah, I can't stand brutal. Jimmy Fallon.
So I can't, I mean.
Drew Barrymore sucks.
I don't think I can handle it if they go out and get him. But there isn't, there'll be a mystery team.
Assume there is no mystery team. Let's assume that everything goes, we come in second. What's your lineup like with the guys you have coming back, signed for next year?
If they don't get any of these guys?
They come in second.
On all of them?
All of them.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot like last year. I think they'll actually, they're probably a little bit better than they played last year.
Well, they're going to like have their best player on the team all year, not in Memphis.
But they're a middle of the order, here's what I think. They're a middle of the order guy and an innings eater away from, instead of
and a closer.
And a closer. Competing for a second wild card to being a World Series contender. And not every team can say that. Because the Cardinals have the money and the players to deal, which is very unique. San Francisco, they don't have the farm system. Boston doesn't really have the farm system. We do. We have the cash and the players.
So you have to play Carpenter. He's got a leadoff, or he's probably not worth playing to start with. You go DeYoung second, Pham third.
So I'm old school in that I always liked a left-handed hitter batting second because it's easier to move the guy
even
over.
Even if you have a left-handed hitter.
But that's all Whitey. That's Whitey's. I think we're in a different era now. The second.
Well, Ozzie was a switch hitter, though.
But he could hit left-handed. Yeah. And if you're talking about a guy pulling the ball to the right side, it's easier to move the guy, the runner over is my point. But I don't think we're in that era anymore, so I'm a little bit out of date with that. But I think in La Russa, to his credit,
certainly no one ever mistake Mike Matheny for Alvin Dorrell, Whitey Herzog.
Right, but La Russa wanted a guy with production hitting second. I mean, remember when we got Larry...
Penthouse and outhouse.
When we got Larry Walker in 04, he batted second. That's where La Russa batted him. So.
But he was on a team with Rowland and Edmonds.
He batted in front of Pujols.
Larry Walker walked into a very different team than you're looking at.
That lineup is the best one we've seen. That 04 lineup is the best one we've ever seen.
It's funny how these playoff things go. That 04 team doesn't win a game in the World Series, and the 06 team wins 4-1.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just you get hot.
We got to talk about something else while you're here, though. Fantasy football. What's up, dude? I mean, currently, just to let everybody know the lay of the land. Senator Rizzo and myself lead the league, both at 7-3. Then you have a collection of Caleb Brown, Bill Igel, Ryan McKenna. But really, what's impactful is Crystal Quaid and yourself in the basement. What's going on?
Well, I'd like to make 2 points. The first is that I'm getting everybody's best game, which is fine. That's what you expect when you're a competitor like me and known as a champion. The second point is, you know what? With everything going on in the NFL, I'm not paying it as close attention. I love America. I love the national anthem. I think some of the people who are at the top of the leaderboard.
Mike Matheny, anything to say?
I think a lot of people at the leaderboard are watching the NFL. And quite frankly, with everything that's been going on, it's soured on me. So I love America, and my fantasy team can suffer as a result.
Do you want to just say the Matheny way? We tried hard. I'm proud of my guys out there. I mean, the World Series, it's an extra parade on Market Street. It's extra games, innings on our pitchers, right? I mean, you don't like cold weather, maybe.
You know, generally speaking, people talking about their fantasy football teams is terrible radio. That's what
I'm sorry, Eric Matheny. What did you say? I couldn't hear you say. No, right now, I mean, it looks like, yeah, Fawn and Rizzo, then a collection. You lost to Jane Duker.
Now, am I right? I don't think you drafted your team. Is this true?
Yes, it says Team Fawn. That's what it says.
So I think now, we someone have else of, from your organization.
We have drafted. A head of football operations in Ben Peters, who I credit every week.
Yeah.
Every time we win, so I credit head of football ops.
So it depends on whose team we're talking
about.
When
we lose, I take the blame. We give out game balls every week, except when the Cubs were in the playoffs. We pulled our own Gandhi. So let me just, you three games left. Do you turn it around?
I'm not paying that close attention.
This weekend.
The league, between Goodell and the National Anthem and CTE, I mean, let's be honest, it's taking a toll.
No, that's what Matheny said the last week of the season. He wasn't looking at the standings. The standings didn't matter to him. You'll hear a lot this weekend about the game between Ohio State. That's not the game. This weekend there's a game. Coaches have been fired. Players have been released. Teams have been renamed after myself and Ryan McKenna play fantasy football. I last year in the league beat him twice and renamed my team to claim that. Lots on the line. I mean, frankly, pride, dignity. I mean, really, this is pretty much what Ireland has to hold on to at this point is his fantasy football team. I just kind of think that I like where we're sending. Ben Peters is the head of football operations. We're going to beat McKenna, right?
I mean, that's the game plan, but, you know, I do have to throw this out there as a Peters, a Irish family.
A little
dissension on that.
Look at this. Already organizational dysfunction.
Well, you guys have alcohol.
I'm glad you said that because I was falling asleep.
That being said, I'm always going for the win. That's my game.
There's none of this. We don't watch the scoreboard.
But we definitely go for a defensive strategy when it comes to wins. We're not looking for a big win.
We don't care.
We're just looking for the W.
I watched Becky Loman and Alex Eaton talk smack about their little algebra problems. We don't care. We're not trying to win a math contest. We're trying to win.
By the way, I get a trade proposal from them like every other day that's more like, and I don't even respond.
Well, we want to thank you. Give me the predictions. Let's close on baseball predictions here. Well, let's start with the football one. Where does your 2-8 fantasy team end up?
I don't know. You know what?
You can do it again.
You know.
Wow.
People need to start standing for the national anthem.
Hey, do you want some ribbons for your Matheny?
I don't want any ribbons. No, Quite frankly, I just want it to be over.
Hey, those participation ribbons are great. I mean, Waka got one this year, and they're wonderful.
Yeah, congratulations.
At least you didn't leave your best player in the minors for 2 months. Do they get Stanton? I was happy today. My karma's been dipping on Stanton all day.
Man, I want to believe that they get him. I'm gonna say yeah because I'm an eternal optimist.
Do we get Yelich?
But I'm prepared to be disappointed, I suppose.
Yelich?
If they don't get Stanton, they get Yelich. Yeah.
Donaldson?
No.
I think they're just gonna keep Donaldson. Take the draft pick.
Yeah, and look, that's a guy that's gonna be on the open market next year.
Well, and you can also trade for him at the middle of the season too.
Yeah, no.
Maybe that's the case. I don't think Toronto's going to be in it.
I wouldn't.
At the trade deadline. If we get a starting pitcher, I think it's somebody we're not thinking of. I think it's just a random guy. And this was one thing that Dave Duncan did. He took your Woody Williams and turned him around, your Kyle Loesches.
Well, and that's where Maddox, you know, can probably – hopefully, I'm sure they are working together to find that. I think it's a middle to back of the order guy, a proven innings eater you're not going to overpay for. And that's what you need because you have ascending young pitching. Now, depending on what happens with the Stanton deal, it could change that. But I feel pretty good about their starting their rotation. I mean, I feel good. They'll go out and get another guy, which will be good. Now, the closer, I think.
Maybe Mark Burley's got a year left in him.
He'd be great. He'd be great. But, you know, like, what are they going to do with the closer role is probably a more pertinent question than even the fifth starter or fourth starter. Wade Davis, I mean, my prediction there is that guy's arm's about to fall off.
So you think Holland's the pitcher?
Yeah. If you want to get the proven guy. Now, the Cardinals do not have a track record since Isringhausen of paying for a closer. And by the way, that was the last time they were kind of in this place with a real need and a roster in flux, and they went out and got Isringhausen. But that's a totally different regime, too. That was Jockety.
Well, let's say Chris Nicasio comes back and runs Desi. Who's in for a bigger payday, Juan Nicasio or Chris Nicasio?
Probably Chris. Hopefully Chris DiCasio.
Well, we want to end it right there before we mistake any of our Nikazis. We want to thank the St. Louis Regional Chamber. And we also obviously want to thank Whitey Herzog for his birthday. Thank the good Lord for giving us that national treasure for another year. Ben Peters, good luck this weekend in the game.
Yeah, you too.
We're going to win, right?
Yeah, we're going to win.
It's all for a good cause.
It is for the good cause. United Way of Central Missouri. And Schmidt doesn't look at the scoreboard. So give me the prediction. Does Mike Matheny, who I'm sure doesn't look at scoreboards either, is he riding down Market Street in October this year? At the end of the season, is it?
Ask me on the next podcast at spring training.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. I have to say yes. I think Matheny is riding on the back of a Ford pickup down Market Street for the first time. Finally, when he comes to the Capitol, he has to do what Tony La Russa and Whitey Herzog do, take off his World Series ring before he can come in. I think he does it, and no one's pulling for him harder than me unless we lose the first game, then I'm pissed. And we'll see you guys next week.